Brainstorming and sharing ideas is the funnest part of the creative process. We decided to skip the boring part of actually making stuff and just do the fun part. I'm your host, Tom Walma.
I'm Chris Young.
I'm John King.
And I'm David Lesneski.
And this is Creativity Wasted.
If you don't have the money to go out, you got to like cook whatever's at home, right? But you're not exactly the best or most skilled cook. And you've just got a random like assortment of like ingredients in the house. You know, like you've got, you know, who knows, whatever, a couple vegetables, you know, leftover meats or something like that from like the last meal. You don't necessarily want leftovers, but you want to do something different. So you take the different items or different foods that you want in your meal. You put it in the app and it gives you a recipe of how to cook whatever it is, or just an idea of what to cook with that. So that way you can just be like, okay, so I've got eggs, I've got tomatoes, I've got bacon, I've got cheese. Like it's a basic omelet, but like if you're, you know, you're hungry, you're just like, I don't know what to do with this stuff, or you don't know how to cook, it just gives you something. And you can almost do it like on levels of complexity too. So like if you are that five-star chef in the kitchen and you want to just try something totally different in a recipe, it puts those in there and finds that recipe for you. So you can just start cooking it that way. And if, you know, kind of get into measurements and like all that stuff, if you can just take like your phone with your phone camera, like you've got like a cabinet full of like whatever ingredients, use the video on the camera on your phone to just like go through that stuff, and then have that find whatever foods will be made with those things and find something to cook that way.
Yeah. That'd be cool. That'd be cool if you were like dumping the ingredient in and it would say, the phone would say a little more.
Right. Kind of fun. Yeah. So a little similar to what Chris had, but like at home as opposed to going out.
That's a genuinely good idea.
I mean, like, I don't know about you guys. I like to cook, but it's like only when I have the time to do it, you know, because, you know, we're always on the road or, you know, getting back from work or a show, and it's like 10 or 11 o'clock at night and you're like, fuck, I got to make some food. Like, what do I have? And then you see it and you're like, oh, like I have all this stuff, but I don't know what to make with it. So
I don't know about you, but since COVID happened, stuff is not open that used to be open at 11:30 at night or whenever. That like sucks.
Yeah,
for sure. I remember like one of my favorite pizza places from college used to be like open till like 3. It's like max midnight now.
I used to do a lot of like running into a Meijer's or a 24-hour Wally World or something and grabbing a sandwich that was just put on clearance or something like that, or the chicken tenders that were cold, and you know, and now that doesn't happen. A lot of those places are closed after a show. So you're like, yeah, you do get home and you're like, man, what is it that I did? Without making a full on have to do this, what do I have readily available to do?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to go too far on a tangent, but you know what this would be perfect for is if there was like a nuclear war apocalypse, you know, and all of your, everything is limited, like in your house. It's like, you might not have electricity. So what can I cook with a candle, you know, like stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, like survival guide that way. That'd be kind of
fun. You have a candle, you have some beef jerky, you have some peanut butter, you have some ramen noodles. Maybe a few
how,
other
how
things.
How am I going to MacGyver this, essentially?
I tell you what, I learned how to make something called, it was like poor man's egg foo young, and it's literally just ramen noodles and eggs. And like, I had that same experience where I'm just like, I have nothing in the house, and I'm going to see if I can find something.
Yeah.
And that became like my go-to meal like all through college.
There's a book out there that's, it's something like what chefs make when they get home for the night, and it's like, you know, they make midnight pasta and they make midnight this, and there's different things than that talks about all the stuff that like they make because they've been cooking all day. They come home and find like, you think there's a chef, but there's nothing at their house, and they have to make do with what measly ingredients they have, and they make this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like for me too, it kind of comes from like spending money on like fresh food and stuff like that, you know, like being out like we are and not having that time to like make stuff, and you know, food spoils. So being able to find a recipe real quick, just be like, okay, I see the fruit's gonna spoil, I need something for that real quick, and boom boom boom, just finding the key ingredients and doing something with that.
Yeah, I don't know if any of you guys have kids, but like if I have something like, hey, put it in the fridge. I know I'm going to have this when I get home later on. Yeah, not so much. They've already demolished it or ruined it or thrown half of it out, and you're like, I hate those people anymore.
I don't have kids, but I've definitely gotten high and have done that with leftovers before.
Okay. Yeah, well, I haven't done it with high, but I have done it with kids, and it's like, oh, come on. What's wrong with you guys?
You could do a thing, too, where, okay, you've got these things that are spoiling. Like maybe before you go shopping, you put them in the app to find like one thing that you can buy to complete a meal to use up those spoiling ingredients that you don't already have in the house, but that you can buy.
That'd be good. I like that. Cause like you go on like vacation or something like that, or you go out of town and you got all this food. You don't want it to spoil when you get back. So you just got to make something real quick or do something with it so it doesn't spoil. That's not a bad idea too for it.
Yeah, totally.
No, I had an idea on one of these other podcasts or that we did one time, Tom. Wasn't it like a 3D printer kind of thing that printed the stuff that you saw? Like if you're watching Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and stuff, it would like make it just there at your house via, I don't know, somehow magic. And so that would be kind of cool. Since we don't have to like apply it and do it, we can have it be amazing.
I do like that part of the steps of the process is just magic.
Right.
The yeah. magic of science.
Like, that's awesome. You can just add that into anything.
Well, you can yeah, have well, an idea without that'd be great. Knowing how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we hope someday, right? That, like, we saw movies where just like, oh, I had the idea and the next thing, this was happening. So I've always, you know, got that magic in my head that somehow someone can do this or someone can do this besides me.
It kind of reminds me of the Spy Kids microwave from Spy Kids. Yeah, the movie. Yeah. You've never seen Spy Kids, Tom?
No. Well, I might have watched part of one. I think I watched part of one like on.
Okay, the first one you should watch because it's really good, actually. It's a legitimately good movie. But like one of the kids, they're in like a secret hideout after they find out their parents are spies. Spoiler. And there's like this bag of pop, you know, unpop popcorn. It looks like it. They throw in the microwave, and they hit the button. And 2 seconds later, it's like an old school Big Mac supersized meal with like Big Mac fries and the drink and everything.
Well, see, yeah, I just envision like a 3D printer now, right? Now that they have the media that can be made like from anything, like, and we're talking about, you know, Beyond Meat, which isn't real meat, it's made from plant cellulose, that like it could print anything that I wanted to eat at any time, and all it would be lacking was like the flavoring, but those would be like little jets that would shoot in there and magically make it taste like whatever, because I think that's where we're all headed, right? Aren't we all headed in this is going to be, we're not going to be eating you know, true meat. It's going to be organic, plant-based somehow, like we're gonna, you know, so I don't know, maybe I'm
no you're on the right track. There's a good doc on Hulu about it. It's called like the next thing on your plate, where I forget the guy's name who does it, but he does a whole episode about plant-based foods and stuff and how like real meat won't necessarily be gone, but it'll definitely be like limited to only the people who can afford it. So like only like the 1% are going to be able to have true meat, and then we're all going to be eating plant-based foods. So, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but have you ever done any of the plant-based foods?
I used to microwave them.
Not on purpose.
Microwave a soy burger at work.
I tried the Impossible Burger, and honestly, it was not that bad. I think it's kind of scary how quickly we are getting to the point of being able to make like realistic fake meat. You know, it's kind of like a food version of a deep fake, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I've done the Impossible sliders from White Castle. So if there was any bad results from that, I just could blame it on White Castle.
Right. Yeah. So they still got the end result. It was just the front loading to get you there.
Yep.
I honestly think that the plant-based meat is a dead end. I mean, it's on the market now. So it's got that going, but I think eventually it's just going to be lab-grown meat that's got protein like meat, because all those plant-based burgers are full of carbs, and they're not as healthy as meat. I mean, they're better for the environment and stuff, but I think they're not as good for you.
Like it's going to be, you think it's going to be like a, just you're ingesting a slurry of chemicals? Is that kind of like a lab sort of like?
I think they're just going to actually grow like meat, like organs, like fat, like in a petri dish type of thing. And then you'll eat it.
As long as we don't make the move to Soylent Green, I'll be okay with it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I used to drink Soylent for a while.
Oh, I've heard of that. I never bothered to buy it. It was too expensive for what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I don't do it anymore, but it was like surprisingly good. And I love the idea of just like I don't want to make something and cook, so I'm just going to drink something in 30 seconds and be like I'm good for now.
I think that'd be great for I'm trying to sleep and I need to eat something cuz I'm too hungry to fall asleep, and it's like you can just have as much as you need to keel over. Keel over might be sounds like you're dying, but because yeah, I always run into the issue where okay, I'm starving, I'm trying to sleep. The one thing that's left to eat is a lot of calories. It's going to ruin my day calorie wise. My weight loss plan is like fuck, but I'm going to eat it anyway. But like something like Soylent, you could just I don't might make you have to piss in the middle of the night if it's too liquidy. But I don't know. Maybe it would. Whatever. That's a side tangent. But yeah, I mean, like, those cake shows, like, making cakes, do they 3D print those?
Yeah, they can. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, once the media, now, like, those 3D printers, you know, I'm just saying that's the general idea, right? But now that they can sort of, like, replicate anything, you know, within reason, I think the only way to go with it is like, commercial food. I mean, that's where it's probably headed, I think.
You mean commercial or, like, at home,
at a commercial at home thing, right? So you're gonna have this, I don't know, like a print cartridge, right? You're gonna buy a bag of whatever it is, whether it's protein, soy protein, whatever, and then it prints a fake turkey leg. And not saying that you'd eat a turkey leg, but it prints this whatever it is with sauce flavoring sort of injections at it to make it taste like.
What do you think the cartridges would be? Because like we have like the magenta, yellow, black, and cerulean one. So it's like,
right,
printer low on MSG. You know, it gets.
Yeah, mine would always like use up. It'd be just like my, you know, my printer. It always use up all the color, good flavoring first, and then everything that would be left would be like just the black, sort of gray, nasty looking sheet that would come out, or you know, whatever. See,
now imagine that, but with like food. So like you know, you've printed stuff before where it's just like it's supposed to be black, but you're out of the black toner, so it just comes faded. Like,
yeah.
Like if you printed like you say like a turkey leg, it's just like
in the end, it's still going to remind you of the person. Like, you know, my mom was a horrible cook, so the food would remind me of like the stuff my mom tried to pass off as food, and that was the gray or burnt black stuff, and it'd be the same thing. All the nice shiny stuff and pretty flowery looking, you know, flavorful stuff would be a thing of the past. I'd be back to her sort of, oh, here we go again, burnt offerings.
Hey, but it would remind you of your mom, though, so that'd be kind of nice.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I think the 3D printer might be an oversimplification, but, like, if you had, like, because, you know, they have, like, taco bowls and stuff. If you're making, like, bowl-type meals, you could have like a dicer thing with a 3D printer thing with like a few hoppers that have different things. Maybe one of them can cook things like a Keurig machine. It has a little heater in it and then it drops it down. You had like maybe five or six things that you can just dump ingredients in that do slightly different things.
And if you look at like an air fryer has taken like three machines and brought them into one. So this, then you keep, you know, bringing stuff into one. Like it would, an air fryer is a deep fryer, kind of can bake, it can heat and things like that. So you've taken a huge oven and sort of condensed it. So I'm just thinking like, yeah, that kind of sort of thing.
Are you guys pro or anti air fryer?
Oh, I love mine.
I don't cook at all. I ever, yeah. Other than microwave or pasta on a
John.
I want to get an air fryer so badly.
I am anti-air fryer.
Oh no.
Yeah. Sorry guys. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I can still learn to love.
So with the like ink like the food ink cartridges. Mm-hmm. Does it do that like annoying thing that printers do where it's like you're out of sign, so you can't print anything?
It
would get where it gets sworn at when you're hungry too. Yeah, like come on you.
Yeah, it's like you're out of chicken, so you can't print cake.
Yeah, right.
Or like what would like their like paper jam be? Would like you got like Thai in my Mexican? Like get it out of there. Like it's
right.
I don't know.
Well,
oh god, paper jam would be awful.
We sort of deviated from David's idea. I guess the food printer would be like a thing that could make the food. So you have your set of ingredients and you're trying to come up with a meal. You could tell you have a 3D printer, you have a frying pan, you have an oven, you don't have an air fryer. So then it could take that into account, like what cooking utensil devices in whatever you have. And what food you have.
Yeah. Well, you know, what it also could be, we've all been to one of those places like where they have the vending machine of like the sandwiches and there's a salad and it sort of spins and you open up the door and pick something out. That's your refrigerator now, right? And the stuff's made in the little magic area on the side that you don't get to see, right? And it just whatever's there comes out in that little magic sort of window and there it is. And I'm getting to have that now. I like magic. Can you tell?
I
like the magic ideas of everything. Like,
yeah, I personally like to try to take his magic idea and like figure out
how
it might work.
Yeah. I'm an idea guy, application guy, not so much.
Did you have a name app, David?
I would call it Fusion because I think we've all kind of been at this level of like poverty or like when we have things in there before when you just have a bunch of different ingredients, all food becomes fusion at some point like that, you know, where it's just I'm making kielbasas with a leftover kielbasa with Spanish rice or something like that, where it's just now you're Polish Mexican food together. I don't know.
In my house as a kid, we called that stuff must-a-goes, right? So all of this stuff that's going to rot must go. Must-a-goes. So.
Must-a-goes. I like that too. I like that a lot.
I think your idea could work. You just have to do it really well. I mean, there's tons of websites that do sort of what you do, but they do it so shittily that you're like spending an hour just searching in their search bar and you're getting same results over and over again. And
yeah.
It's slow and it's like the search maybe is finding things that aren't relevant and it's just a cluster F of horribleness. But if you could actually make it work, I think there's room for that in the world, for sure. I've occasionally, over the years, wanted to learn how to cook and then Googled around and realized how much work and how shitty the websites were and gave up immediately. I'm assuming they're still that bad.
I would assume so. The internet hasn't really changed much since then. But I mean, like, too, like, there's the other thing of, like, I think people are, they think there's, like, a skill level in which you need to be able to cook. And yeah, if you can't boil water, you might be in a little bit of trouble. But if it's like a basic recipe or anything like that, you should be able to do anything.
I'm not convinced that I can cook.
What?
I mean,
what's
yeah, the... I mean, I could stumble through a lot of things. But
you said that the name was Fusion, correct?
Yeah, where it's just, you know, it's like a fusion restaurant. It like just takes elements of different parts and you call it the new thing that hipsters are eating. I don't know.
Fusion is the name of like an Adobe graphics thing or something, I think.
Also what two Saiyans do, but that's another thing.
Nerd jokes.
Thank you, John.
I got that, yeah.
I missed it. Oh, well. Let's wrap it up with that. Any shows or podcasts or things you guys want to plug before we go?
I am doing a fun little show on Wednesday at 734 Brewing in Ypsilanti. And we were talking about magic. I'm going to be doing magic at that show in addition to comedy.
Awesome.
So that should be a fun thing.
Going to be in Indianapolis Friday and Saturday night at Helium. Next week, going to do some shows in North Carolina and Virginia. And the end of the month, up at the casino in Escanaba. So check me out, chrisyoungcomic.com.
You can always check out the Mexican 734 on Insta and Threads. And Comedy by David on Facebook for just whatever I'm thinking or whatever I got going on.
I'm doing a show in Kalamazoo on Thursday. Meet me at Valhalla. I'm doing a thing online called Gaming McFitness, where I build video game controllers into fitness machines. And so I have one for a rowing machine. I modified an omnidirectional treadmill that I bought. I have one for treadmill. I'm eventually going to build one for a jump rope. Some of them are sort of silly, but you can play video games while working out. I don't sell them. I just use them. Eventually, maybe I'll get to one to sell, but it's a hobby thing I do. It's on Twitch and Kick and all of the YouTube, all of the streaming platforms.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give a review or rating on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you got it.
I have a website, creativitywasted.com, and I also started a Patreon. So if you love the show, consider donating to Patreon.
Thanks for listening.
This has been a production of Planet Amp Podcast, powered by Pinecast.